Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 20th year. I'm Roger Gross, the editor-at-large with Global Gaming Business, and today we sit down with Mark Bertha, the president and CEO of Hard Rock Sacramento at Fire Mountain. Mark has worked for several of the industry's largest companies, including Station Casinos and Las Vegas Sands, as well as developing Tucson's Casino of the Sun for the Pascua-Yaqui tribe. But his time helping to build and operate Hard Rock Sacramento for the Enterprise Rancheria tribe has been most rewarding. He talks about that process, why Hard Rock was the perfect partner, and how it has developed into one of Northern California's most successful casino resorts. He spoke with me at his office at the Hard Rock in May. Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Mark Bertha, the CEO, President and CEO of Hard Rock Sacramento at Fire Mountain. Mark, it's good to see you. I was looking at when this property opened, and it's almost already 5 years. So yeah,
5.5 years already. Yeah,
so
we finally got you out here, Roger.
I've been trying to get up here for all that time, but I finally made it, and I'm glad I did. It's a very impressive property, I just love the area. You know, it's such a rural area, and the people are great. Your one of your front desk attendants was fantastic last night, and I got down there in the morning, and she was still there. I said, "What? Did you sleep here?" You know,
I hope not, but.
He said, "I have a bed in the back with you."
That's great service.
She was great. Yeah, the service is great, and the property is great. So you got here right in the beginning.
Yeah.
Before there was anything here. So what was the process when you got here? What was already planned, and how did you get into the planning?
Yeah, I was really fortunate to be able to be the first person on the ground here when we were already starting the construction. And so when I got here, it was concrete and steel just coming out of the ground.
Right.
And it really afforded me the opportunity to be here from day one.
Right.
Be a part of not only the construction efforts and, you know, looking at the design and making sure we were optimal, but more importantly, hiring all of the team and bringing on the management and working very closely with the tribe, Enterprise Rancheria, to ensure that we really instilled a vision that they had brought to the table. Hard Rock International develops hotel casinos all around the world, and we do a phenomenal job at it.
Sure, right.
And having great partners here and making sure that we work together to bridge those two different visions and two different philosophies and make them one was truly a great experience, and I think it turned out really well, and here we are 5.5 years later.
Yeah, no question. Hard Rock has properties all over the world, obviously. Jim Allen, I go way back with, and every time I meet him, I'm amazed that he survived this long in tribal gaming, which is very unusual to do. But he's such an incredible individual. He's definitely the exception, not the rule.
He's truly an icon, and I've learned so much from him. And you know, he inspires us every day in this company. And what he's done in over 20 years with the Seminole Tribe of Florida is just unbelievable. It's really remarkable.
Right. Absolutely. So the Enterprise Rancheria Tribe and the tribal chairwoman just pronounced the full name for it, and I'm not even going to try because I'm glad I didn't try.
We'll stick with Enterprise,
right? But it went through many years of getting documentation and preparation for being allowed to run a casino. So how did you work with the tribal leaders when you first showed up? Because they probably had no experience, in gaming either.
Yeah, I mean, a few of them had actually worked in different casinos in the region. There's over a dozen, about an hour from us, within an hour's radius. For me, it was really interesting. Ironically, when I was at the Northfield, the Hard Rock Northfield Park, which became MGM, and I was president there, they had actually were entertaining a partnership with Hard Rock, and they came out to see what a regional property could look like. Mm-hmm. So I entertained the tribal council all afternoon and gave them a tour of the property and answered 1,001 questions. Like, wow, these guys are really on the ball.
Yeah.
Great questions, definitely pushed me in terms of what they were looking to understand, but really involved in all the details. And then lo and behold, 1.5 years later, I was actually out here on the ground helping to bring this to life. And so it was really a great partnership that really began even back then. And so they waited over 20 years to develop this hotel casino.
Yeah.
And they clearly wanted to have the best brand, the best property, the best product they could possibly put to justify that long wait. And so when I got here, it was really about understanding what their vision was, understanding the Native American elements that really stand out, that were important to them to manifest. You know, what was amazing is they have a lot of the same values and mottos and missions that Hard Rock does. So it was a really, natural relationship that was built. But they were involved at day one with everything. I mean, from the hiring aspects that we did, from a lot of the design and development work that we did, ensuring that the property looked and felt the way they wanted it to, met the brand standards that we, of course, set as Hard Rock.
Sure, right.
But they were involved in pretty much everything that we did here. And they gave me a lot of great competitive feedback on the marketplace, a lot of knowledge about who the customers and demographics of the people who live here were. So they were very instrumental in the marketing and the operations, the design, the development, literally everything that we did.
Okay.
So it was a great, great partnership.
So obviously you had to look at, see what the market was before you got here. And you just said they helped you with that. But how did you decide, you know, the kind of amenities you needed and things like that to compete in this marketplace?
Yeah, it's interesting. You have a lot of casinos in this market. Some have been here for, you know, 30 years. You know, there's some that are 25 minutes to an hour away from us, and you know, small ones, medium-sized, larger ones, clearly a lot with a lot of history. You know, we felt like the goal here was to have a property that was more than just a casino.
Right.
And especially being a Hard Rock, when people say that word Hard Rock, they kind of realize there's going to be an experience attached to that.
Right.
That, of course, has all the fundamental basics you would expect in a hotel casino, but it's going to have all the amenities that really raise the bar much, much higher.
Right.
And being a local but also a regional property, I mean, the Bay Area is only 2 hours from here.
Yeah.
And with 12 million people in a three-hour radius, we wanted to attract people from all around Northern California. And so, again, being Hard Rock, we knew that was going to be a brand, a recognition, a beacon that would bring people from all over. And it brings people from all around the world out here, quite honestly.
Right.
But they really want to make sure they had a large number of high-quality amenities to match up with the service that we provide, a great design, a great feel and a vibe. Mm-hmm. And we felt like if we had all of those and made it more of an integrated destination resort, not just purely a casino, that we would attract people, we would attract all different demographics, different people from different geographics, and make sure we had something for everybody. Even if they didn't want to gamble necessarily, they could come here and have a great meal. They could stay in the hotel. They could enjoy the pool. They could shop. They could do a lot of other things. Clearly, we're a casino at the end of the day, and it was important to have all these amenities to support that experience and to be competitive at the same time.
Right, right. So give us an idea of what some of the amenities you have here that attract people.
Yeah, so we're fortunate. We've got a little over 1,400 slots. We've got 50 table games, 169 rooms and suites, which are, you know, really high quality, obviously being Hard Rock, of course. We've got six restaurants, from our award-winning Council Lake Steakhouse to our Hard Rock Cafe, which, of course, is the iconic cafe destination. We've got our UU, which is more of an Asian-style continental restaurant. We've got our Constant Grind, which is sort of our 24-hour grab-and-go. We've got our Fresh Harvest Buffet, which does, you'll see this weekend, it'll do over 1,000 covers for dinner on Saturday night with a seafood buffet, which does phenomenal. So we've got a lot of great amenities here. We've got our Plum Lounge. You know, now we've got our Hard Rock Live venue, which I know we'll talk about. We've got some ballroom space, almost 10,000 square feet of ballroom space. We have an indoor-outdoor pool area. We've got a body rock. So a pretty good complement of different amenities that cater to, you know, customers that are looking for all different types of experiences here at the property.
Okay. So like all Hard Rocks, another amenity is the memorabilia you have on the wall. And I was lucky enough a couple of years ago when I was in Florida to get a tour of the Hard Rock warehouse where all this stuff is housed, and it was amazing. I mean, it's a gigantic warehouse with all kinds of guitars, and there's a
the
one
vault,
wall
they call it.
One,
so.
Yeah, one wall has all the guitars on it. And they got all the clothes, and it's just amazing. So, so you know, you obviously have you can pick and choose of what you want here, but a lot of Hard Rocks, you know, choose some local and you know people that came from the local area. But I was thinking, I don't remember anybody that came from Sacramento.
So Northern California, we call it.
Okay,
so,
there you go.
I mean, I love the memorabilia. Gio and his team down in Florida do a phenomenal job, not only acquiring but preserving this memorabilia. And it really is the heartbeat. I mean, you mentioned earlier the amenities we have in this building. Of course, it's Hard Rock, but we're like a museum to rock and roll and all different types of music and entertainment experiences. And so you walk in this building, and on the local side, if you walk in the Hard Rock Cafe, there's a whole wall there that has a whole bunch of memorabilia from different artists that have come from Northern California.
Okay.
So you see Stevie Nicks has an outfit up on the wall.
Okay.
Interestingly, if you have some time, you'll see Johnny Cash, who might have heard of Folsom Prison.
Yeah, right.
It's about 45 minutes from here.
Okay.
So that experience is up there on the wall.
Right.
We had Def Leppard who came out here, and they opened up the property. We did a whole memorabilia display for them.
Okay.
So we really have well over 100 different pieces that range, you know, from all different genres and all different histories of music, and clearly capturing some of the local elements as well.
Yeah, sure.
Not to mention I have Pearl Jam here, which is my favorite. So, yes. it was fun to help work on selecting the memorabilia to display.
But you've got some of the giants too. You got a Hendrix item.
I
walked out of the elevator, and what do I see but a John Lennon suit that he wore to one of his immigration hearings in New York. And
we have Beyonce. We have Prince. Yeah. I mean, we got so many artists here. Yeah. We have Elvis. A couple of Elvis suits here.
Right.
So it's really, I mean, you could walk through the building and spend all day just sightseeing the memorabilia. It's really fun.
Sure, absolutely. So your casino was named the top casino in the Newsweek Top 10 Reader's Choice Best Casino poll with live entertainment. So how do you think that happened?
Oh, I mean, my opinion on how that happened is, we've got a lot of great fans. We've got this Hard Rock Live venue. We do close to 90 shows a year and another probably 15 to 20 different events in that venue. It's a beautiful 2,500-seat, two-floor venue with private skyboxes, retractable seating. It's got amazing acoustics and sight lines. You cannot have a bad experience, sight lines or just the sound in that room.
Yeah.
And people have really fallen in love with the experience in that venue. It's not just a music venue. It's like a high-quality theater.
Sure.
And so I think not only is it a great experience in terms of the product and the feel and the aesthetics and the Hard Rock vibe that's in there.
Right.
But of course, we have a phenomenal lineup of artists that have come through this building as well.
Tell us some of the artists. I mean,
we open with Maroon 5, which you see them in stadiums, you see them in huge arenas. We've had everything from Pitbull to Halsey to Sting to Chris Rock. From comedy to different genres. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of Latino artists here. Mm-hmm. We've had cutting edge new artists like Biba Doobie, if you've heard of her, who played with Taylor Swift all last summer.
Okay.
She sold out a show in one day here.
Yeah. Wow.
So we have great lineup of different genres of music and comedy and entertainment. But I think the other thing that really differentiates us from others is that the hospitality that we offer in this room, not only to the guests, clearly by our team members, but our team in there is passionate. Randy and his team in there, they take care of the roadies. They take care of not only the artists, but the entire team of people that come through here. And we have artists like Sting, who played here two sold-out shows last year and requested to come back here and do another show this summer because they had a phenomenal experience while they were here at the property. We were literally bent over backwards to make sure that their experience, not only as an artist performing, but just as a guest here on the property, is high quality. So it was really endearing to get that award, which we had no idea we were even in the running for. And so it was really, really humbling for all of us.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. So I was in Florida a few years ago when they opened their 7,500-seat venue at the Hollywood property, and I remember talking to the people who developed it, and they telling me they took a lot of attention to the acoustics of the place, and I imagine they did that here as well.
Yeah, you'll see tonight when you're here for the show.
Right.
It's all acoustic sound paneling. It's all high-quality audio-visual. We spent a lot of money on getting the most updated and current technology, and again, creating a space that no matter where you are in that room, you're just going to have a great time there. And so the tribe wanted to have a very, very high quality entertainment experience here, not only being Hard Rock, obviously, which is what you would expect to have at a property like this, but just being in a competitive marketplace, it really mattered to have high quality entertainment acts in a very high quality entertainment venue.
Okay, great. So one of the things that's happened recently in the Hard Rock Corporation is the introduction of the Unity Slot Club card. Has that helped attract people to this property? Because if you're on that card, you can go to any Hard Rock property in the country.
It's an absolute game changer for us. I mean, it's such a great program that we've rolled out. It's a great investment. Jeff Hook, who oversaw all of that, did a fantastic job working with all of our marketing team. You think about it, it's not a simple, loyalty program.
Very difficult, yeah.
Not only for a casino. We have hundreds of cafes. Mm-hmm. We have dozens of hotels. We have online retail, all these other amenities. And we're an international company with, over 200 locations around the world in over 75 countries. And you're trying to coordinate and interface all of that together technology-wise and amenity-wise and guest-wise and have a completely, world-renowned program like that.
Right.
It took a lot of time and energy to do that, but it's rolled out. It's been one of the best adopted platforms in the gaming space that we've seen. The guests love it because I have guests that are here right now that live in Northern California. They're actually down in Hollywood at the Guitar Hotel now, having a phenomenal weekend, seeing one of their favorite artists in a show, and they did that because of the Unity program. Mm-hmm. And so you have 14, 15 different casinos you can go to all around the world.
Right.
Lots of opportunity to redeem points. It truly is a competitive advantage. It's a great amenity for our guests, and it's really, really nice to have the Unity program.
Well, what really impressed me, all the stuff you mentioned, certainly it was impressive to do, but the fact that, Hard Rock has different relationships with every one of its properties. This is a tribal property. In Florida, they fully own their property, own and operate. In Atlantic City, they own a little slice of it, but they operate it. You know, so the financial concerns, you know, were vast. Yeah. But to be able to pull that together and satisfy all of the different entities that are involved in these Hard Rock properties was amazing.
It was extraordinarily complex. It took a while to put together. We rolled it out over a great the right amount of time so that we did it in an effective manner, property by property. The team did a fantastic job with all of that. And it's got a great look and feel to it. Unity, I mean, what a great name for that as
right,
well.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So, you know, it was something that we are very proud of, and we believe it's arguably one of the most competitive, high-quality loyalty programs in the business now, and we continue to watch it be successful.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk about, back to this property. Earlier this month, you announced that the tribe announced that it had purchased 350 acres adjacent to this facility, and a total investment of around $3 to $4 billion is going to go into that. Tell us how that came about and how the tribe plans to proceed from there.
Yeah, so the tribe is in the final stages of acquiring the land, mm-hmm. and they've been working on that for the last couple of years. We actually sit in a 900-acre entertainment and sports zone. Mm-hmm. It was designated by voters over 20 years ago for the unique entitlement of being mm-hmm. sports and entertainment-driven.
Even before the casino was here.
Even before the casino, wow. Even before the amphitheater,
yeah.
Ironically.
Okay.
So when you talk about entertainment, who would have thought? And here you are 20 years plus later,
right.
And you've got the Toyota Amphitheater, 18,000 seats, all kinds of different music programs
right.
by Live Nation. And that's on one end of the 350 mm-hmm. acres, and you've got the Hard Rock Hotel Casino Sacramento at Fire Mountain on the other end.
Right.
So two great shoulders on 40 Mile Road and 350 acres in between. And so it was always the vision of the county and the owners of the land to develop something that was truly landmark, that mm-hmm. would be a destination experience. And over the last 20 years, those two entities have now come, and we're at a point where we've got critical mass and enough energy and evolution here that we anticipate seeing that area now begin to get developed mm-hmm. into a much broader landmark sort of entertainment vehicle going forward. And so there's a bunch of different concepts that are in mind.
Right.
The tribe working with us with Hard Rock, we've been working on trying to identify with some other partners, Vibrant Development Group, trying to determine what would be the best fit here. And you've got a lot of amenities in Northern California,
sure.
a lot of stuff in California in general,
right.
the West Coast, obviously, but being the state capital, being a high population, mm-hmm. We wanted to look at focusing on, with the tribe's vision, something that doesn't really exist out here.
Right.
And I can tell you, when this began 18 months ago, there was probably over 100 different ideas.
Yeah.
We've been able to whittle it down to less than 10 now that really makes sense, not only to be competitive and a great investment, but more importantly, to really synergize with the casino, to live up to the promise that voters were given about developing something here that had entertainment and sports and a whole program around it, and basically make sure that it would be a long-term investment for the tribe to diversify their business interests and be positive for the county, increase visitation, and be hopefully a game changer in this mm-hmm. region.
Okay. Is there any kind of housing built into that?
So for now, it's not designated for housing. Mm-hmm. We are looking at possibly working with the county on possibly having some of that in the future.
Right.
There's three real zones that we're anticipating. The first one would be what we're calling a festival entertainment district. And that'll be a high quality retail, indoor, outdoor, big box, small box, boutique program,
right.
Entertainment elements, water features, kind of a place you'd walk around and spend the whole day at,
right.
by yourself, with your family, whatever, mm-hmm. something for everybody. A lot of retailers that we're looking to bring potentially in that don't exist anywhere in the region. And a high quality, experience that people don't just drive up to a strip mall and go in and go out and then leave. This would be a place you'd spend the entire day. That's
yeah.
kind of zone one. Zone two is something that's really an ode to Northern California, and that is all about rodeo.
Yeah.
And we literally have Cotton Rosser and their family, the Flying U Rodeo, right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the forefathers for NFR and mm-hmm. for a lot of the rodeo programming.
Right.
They call him the King of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And to have that right here in our backyard and that authentic
sure.
you know, rodeo experience. We think a fairgrounds and a rodeo program, something that would be year round, that would be really a reflection of Northern California and that whole world,
right,
would be truly a testament to having a long-term vision for a program here. And then a third component, if this, you know, when it comes to fruition, would be sort of a resort corridor. And so whether it's more convention space, hotel rooms, you know, water park features, you know, big box hotel programming, et cetera, there's definitely a need in this marketplace. There's definitely a vision to have more visitation, more overnight stay, and have a more hospitality-driven experience here that continues to accentuate what we've already built here at the Hard Rock, which, again, we have five phases of development that we're looking at.
Right.
We've only done two so far. Mm-hmm. But, again, just becomes a game changer that you wouldn't find something like this anywhere on the West Coast.
Right.
And with, you know, almost 400 acres to work with here, you can really be very creative with that vision.
Yeah, no question. So you and I have known each other for about 20 years. I've followed your career very closely. And you work for some very impressive companies, Las Vegas Sands, Station Casinos, Marriott, as well as developing Casino del Sol for the Pascua Yaqui tribe.
Yeah, in Tucson.
Tucson.
Great people.
Great people. And you did a great job down there. I mean, that was another hotel you brought up from the ground there. So how did those experiences compare to the Hard Rock? How did that lay the groundwork for what you're doing now?
Well, I appreciate that, Roger. I've had a phenomenal career. I'm blessed, I thank everybody, all my mentors, the people I've been fortunate to work with over the last 30 years. Some great companies. I mean, it's ironic, I started with the Mirage 30 plus years ago, and here it's now going to be a Hard Rock, you know, eventually, which is going to be phenomenal. But I've been really, really fortunate to work with so many great executives and other people and some great companies. But I've been with Hard Rock for, it'll be 11 years in September.
Okay.
And that's the longest I've been with anybody, almost by twice.
Right.
And so Hard Rock is truly an amazing organization. It really lives up to, you know, you practice what you preach. You know, we have an entrepreneurial spirit. We have a phenomenal brand. We're an international company. But it's really been a great experience for us, for me particularly, because I just really love the culture of the organization.
Yeah.
You know, it's 54 years old now, and it's a company that really believes in the mottos that, you know, were the founding mottos. Love all, serve all, take time to be kind, save the planet, all is one. We really believe in hospitality.
Yeah.
And we really believe in allowing our team members to be part of this culture that truly focuses on going above and beyond and taking care of the guest at every turn, you know, in every possible way. And so I find that to be something as a hospitality executive that's really endearing. I'm really passionate about that. And Jim Allen and the Seminole Tribe of Florida have grown this company immensely. I mean, we first talked when I was in Northfield.
Right.
We only had a few casinos, and, you know, not look what we have now. And, and the company has grown, continues to grow. We're, you know, doing extremely well, very successful. We have a new property in Bakersfield that's going to be opening up. We just opened up in Bristol and Rockford, casinos. New one that's going to be opening in Ottawa this summer. So we just continue to grow, and it's been a really great place to build a career and, you know, learn from others, mentor the next generation of leaders, and just really be, you know, everything that I want it to be.
Great. Well, speaking of mentoring, you know, you went to college at Cornell University, one of the top hospitality colleges in the country. A lot of the gaming executives I run into have come through Cornell, and you're still involved. What did that mean to you? And you're still involved in that?
Yeah, I mean, I love Cornell. I think Cornell for me, there's a lot of great hospitality programs. When I was a kid and going from a small little farm town in Connecticut, got accepted to Cornell. And it really opened up in the hotel program there a whole world that I didn't even know existed.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know about international hospitality. I didn't realize there was hotels and casinos and restaurants that were, you know, all different flavors and ideas and sizes and shapes. And so, you know, the exposure that I got there to allow me to be in the dream and realize there was such a big world out there full of opportunity was really eye-opening. I got a great education. But more importantly, it was a culture there that I really fell in love with, the university. And so I've stayed involved for 30 years that I've been since I've graduated. You know, I've mentored people. I've taught classes at the university. I was president of the Cornell Hotel Society about 10 years ago for the entire International Alumni Association. More importantly, my wife and I, we founded a scholarship last year.
Oh, really?
And this scholarship, interestingly enough, will have a preference for future for students who have a future interest in being in the gaming industry. Okay. That'll be a preference of how it's being selected. Great. For yeah. people to receive it. And so, you know, to be able to give back to the school on so many different levels for everything that I felt like it gave to me has been something that I've been not only passionate about, but really, you know, have a lot of grateful feelings about being able to give back.
Yeah,
all the time.
Great. Well, it is a great college, and I went up there a few years ago for the first time, and I was really impressed. what a cute little town, and
it's beautiful
the
campus.
College kind of reigns over the town.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing else out there but right. Cornell and Ithaca, yeah. and you know, it's just a great place to be.
Yeah,
beautiful
yeah.
out there.
It was a lot of fun. So one last question, what's the future for Hard Rock Sacramento? I mean, you just mentioned you have a few other development options here. What are you looking at soon?
Yeah, I think the Tribe, working with Joe Emanuel and Jim Allen and the Hard Rock team there when they first put this on paper, you know, they built it in a manner that would allow it to be, once it became successful, to continue to expand. Mm-hmm. And so we have five phases of development that we kind of put on paper from a schematic design perspective. We've been able to obviously complete the first one. We opened up the property in its initial phase. We were fortunate that right after the pandemic, we began work on the second phase. Mm-hmm. And that second phase included the Hard Rock Live, our Rocktane gas station, some administrative and office and warehouse spaces in the back. And that was phase two. You know, future phases will allow for continued growth, for more gaming, mm-hmm. more food and beverage, you know, spa programming, different gaming elements that we don't have here, like poker mm-hmm. in the future. Another hotel tower, a parking garage, and there are a lot of other ideas that we have in mind to continue to develop on the 40 acres that the casino sits on. Not to mention the Tribe, of course, wants to continue to diversify, and so the land sits right around us, not the bigger parcel, but the 43 acres that they bought.
Right.
You know, we're looking at a higher quality RV park, mm-hmm. we're looking at a utility district, we're looking at other things here that will allow the Tribe to really diversify their business interests that will complement the hotel casino. And allow guests that come here just to have a phenomenal experience that they may not be able to get anywhere else in the region.
Right, right.
And that really is the long-term legacy and vision of Hard Rock, is just to continue to develop these high-quality experiences.
Right.
You know, we're not in the commodity business. We're in the experience business.
Sure, no question. Well, I guess with this 350 acres next door and seeing how that develops, that'll determine, I guess, what you would do here in a certain extent, too.
Yeah, there'll be a lot going on in the next few years. Yeah. So, but it's exciting. You know, it's really been endearing. It's great to have a tribal development program that enterprise members are part of in their building careers. It's great that we've given over $4 million back to the local community in philanthropy over the last 5 years. We've had such an economic impact, $2.5 billion over the last 5 years since we've opened up. And really, there's so much more opportunity out there. The community has embraced this property. We do a lot of great events here in the building. And they've really made it their second home. And so it's really been very endearing for me to sit back and watch and look at all of that and realize I had just a small little portion of all of that.
Sure.
And to watch this tribe's hopes and dreams come to fruition. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been really, really powerful, and I'm very appreciative for everything.
Great. Well, I'm appreciative of the invitation you gave me. It's a great property, and I'm so glad I could see it. And congratulations on developing all this. And I know you've got your hands full going forward, so I'll come back next time you are ready to go here.
All right. You're always welcome, Roger. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out the Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the daily news of the gaming industry, subscribe for free to the Global Gaming Monitor at igamingbusiness.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast. You're in my soul.